Now, have you noticed, here's the question, have you noticed a lot of men lately are wearing beards? And I'm not just talking about three-day stubble, I'm talking big, long, heavy 70s-style beards. Have you ever considered the impact that the rise in popularity of beards might have on the sale of razors and shaving cream? Of course you haven't! You have much better things to think about. But I'm just going to ask you again, the rise in popularity of beards on the sale of razors and shaving cream, I think we're going to find out that it's absolutely having a huge impact, but I could be wrong. Because sometimes, basically, I want to spread this one out, a sudden trend or a fashion craze can have an immediate impact on business because it significantly affects what we spend money on and what we don't. So we decided we'd get business reporter Conor Brophy to take a look back over a few trends, past and present, that have either a positive or a negative effect financially. So, Conor, welcome to the programme. Andrew Byrne, isn't it? Sorry, did I say Anthony Byrne? Yeah, sorry, right. Okay, Andrew Byrne, God almighty. Okay, Conor, let's start with the whole beard thing. How much has that actually affected razor sales? Now, I haven't been thinking about this. It hasn't been even crossing my mind over the last few weeks. But just imagine that it does now. Is it significant?
It is, yeah. If you look at Procter & Gamble and the big industrial concern, they own Gillette. In fact, they paid the guts of $60 billion for it back in 2005. So you think about that, and that'll tell you something about how...
$60 billion
for it in 2005. That'll tell you something about how important male grooming, as they call it, is. Their grooming business in the last 12 months is virtually flat. There's hardly any growth at all, and they're attributing a big part of that to a drop-off in sales of razors and shaving cream. And they say that a good bit of that is around fashion, changes in fashion. You see a lot more celebrities now. I suppose if you even think Gordon Darcy and his famous recent example of the big Charles Stewart Parnell beard, which he finally
That's
cut
right.
off.
Really,
I'd say the Procter & Gamble guys were popping the champagne corks for that one as well. But it's much more prevalent, as you said there, the three-day stubble even. I think for a variety of reasons, celebrities are doing it. I think workplaces are much more relaxed now and people are much more inclined to have or much more likely to have jobs where they do, say, tech support, or they're doing something behind the scenes. Not as much of our business is driven by face-to-face communication as it was in the past. And I think also industries have changed. You know, particularly internet-based businesses are much more relaxed. They're much more casual. You can get away with not shaving and going into work with a beard or with a couple of days beard growth. And I think people are doing that much more often. And also one of the other things that Procter & Gamble themselves referred to, and it's an unfortunate, if you like, it's kind of fashion necessity becoming a fashion trend. So many more young men, particularly in Europe now, are out of work, they're unemployed, so they're not placing as much of an emphasis, or they're cutting back on what they're spending on personal grooming products because they just don't have the disposable income to cover it.
I never even thought of that. By the way, 51552 and at Dave Fanning Show's Twitter address, just for those who, I suppose, am I looking for female listeners to get in touch with us and say, do they like them or do they not? Because, I mean, if there's one thing about beards, like, I mean, I had one for a while and I really should never have had one because it just grew naff. I mean, it grew here and here, it didn't necessarily grow here. But I've seen some people, like, who've often grown a beard for a short space of time, and it can actually, I think, look pretty well. But most women I know go, no, don't like it.
Well, or it's funny because I know when our daughter was born, I grew a beard. I was working on very early morning radio at the time, and it felt like, you know what, it was a little bit less of a, you get that 10 minutes in bed if you don't shave, basically, is what it came down to. When I added that, all those 10 minutes up at a point when you have a newborn baby and you're not getting any sleep, that to me was worth more than being groomed. And I thought the beard looked well. And even my partner said, yeah, the beard's good, the beard suits you. As soon as I shaved it off, she said, thank God you shaved that off. I hated you with the beard.
Right,
it made you look older. So I wonder, are there a lot of women behind the scenes there maybe holding back on telling their partners that you really should ditch the
facial
hair?
Just to get back to, I mean, even in music, like the amount of bands that had almost, it's de rigueur to have beards. Like, you can't be an alt-Americana, country-ish type band without having a big woodsman beard.
Or the Brooklyn beard, I think, is what they call it now. It's even become a kind of an urban thing in parts of New York to have that huge, big, bushy beard, the Gordon Darcy, as we'd call it, closer to home. It's funny what you say about the impact of what people think about facial hair. I know famously Thomas Dewey, who was the presidential contender back in 1948, you might remember the infamous example of the press jumping the gun. There's a famous headline on the Chicago Daily Tribune that Harry Truman, who ultimately won the election, was holding up saying Dewey defeats Truman because they went a bit early. And that'll show you how big a favourite Dewey was. But
so where are you going with this with a beard?
I'll get there in a second. I'll bring it back. But Dewey had a moustache.
Hold on. There's a world of difference between a moustache and a beard. Beards can be cool. Moustaches Sorry.
They weren't. They had their time. They had their point in time. But Dewey had a moustache. Dewey was the overwhelming favourite to win the election. A lot of people just didn't like the moustache. And a guy called Jimmy the Greek, who's an icon in American broadcasting history, although he fell from grace, but we'll leave that to one side, made $170,000. And this is in 1948, when $170,000 was $170,000, by betting against Dewey purely on the basis, he got odds of 17-1 because Dewey was the prohibitive favourite to win that election,
right,
purely on the basis that his wife had said to him, I don't like his moustache, I don't trust him,
really?
I don't trust guys with moustaches.
He made a killing,
but no,
17
I don't think
to
any presidential contender since has ever had any facial hair of any description. Like, this thing of not having facial hair or people distrusting it has become a real fixture in the political
mindset.
I'm
trying to think right back. All right, so is it that it has a negative effect then on political candidates, but does it work in the favour of anybody, like maybe a professional gambler or something, because you can be stroking something.
Or it might hide your tail, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Hide your face. Yeah, yeah. Maybe there are occupations where you think a beard might be a bit more of an advantage, but for some reason I don't think that being President of the United States appears to be one of those. But I wonder then, is part of that, particularly the moustache thing, a hangover from World War II and the most infamous moustache of all time? I wonder,
indeed,
did that have an influence on voting patterns?
Yeah, God, I always think of that moustache in terms of the Father Ted episode with the little black thing on the window and putting up his hand. Okay, so hold on a second. Yeah, I mean, but seriously, look, can we just get the moustache thing out of the way? I know I'm going to get 515-552 people giving out, but seriously, moustaches, no.
No, you're just drawing a line under that, under no circumstances.
Oh, yeah, but I was hoping you'd be agreeing with me, actually. I noticed the way you said you. You obviously don't agree with me. Okay, fair enough.
I've seen some good Movember tashes, and, you know, when
Lord
everybody
Lincoln
gives it a go, you see a couple of good ones. But you need, I think a lot of people, going back to your own travails, a lot of people just don't have that.
Yeah, if you're going to do it like Jerry
hair,
Fish.
That density of hair on the top lip.
Terry Thomas, who moved there from one end of the room to the other.
That you need to wax.
Yeah, but yeah. If you're twirling your moustaches, moustache in a kind of mischievous baddie way. That's about the only one that really can. Okay, I should stop. It is amazing, though, like, to take this out from facial hair, that a trend can suddenly develop just because of one person. Is it an urban legend or true about John Kennedy, speaking of American politicians, that he had that whatever he did, he had a major impact on the decline of hat sales? Or were hat sales in the 60s going to be uncool anyway?
Well, interesting point, because as you say, a lot of people, it's quite wide currency that JFK killed hats and killed the sale of hats. But I was looking at, have you ever seen, there's a great website called Snopes.com. All they do is take urban legends and assess whether or not there's any truth to them. It's really good. It's like a myth-busting website.
Snopes.com.
Snopes.com. Right. Snopes.com reckons that hat sales had already begun to decline, and all Kennedy was really an embodiment of a trend that was happening anyway. So he might have been the guy that gave it the big push.
Right.
But it was happening anyway. But at the same time, when your number one guy isn't wearing a hat, obviously that's going to influence what people do, and what world leaders, of course, and what popular political leaders do influences hugely what the rest of us do.
Because whole generations
think of Churchill and the cigar, Romeo and Juliet cigar.
Like, staying with the hats, loads of if you ever see a picture of a FA Cup final at Wembley with 120,000 people or whatever it is in the old, every single person had a flat cap.
Or in All Ireland in Croke Park, being hatless was just... You just wouldn't do it.
My dad wore a hat.
Surprising even
all
that
the
players weren't wearing hats.
My
at that
dad
point.
Used to leave his hat on top of the telly, and it always looked like Charles Mitchell reading the news was wearing a hat. Seriously. Anyway, where were you with the cigars? What are you saying about that?
Well, Churchill famously smoked the cigar which the Cuban company Romeo y Julieta actually named after him, and Churchill cigars have been one of their biggest sales. I think it's the biggest selling cigar in the world since because
really?
Of that association.
It's called a Churchill cigar after Winston Churchill.
Churchill number 10, I think it is, or Churchill number 11, not being a particularly cigar aficionado myself.
Okay, so basically what we're talking about here is the fact that if some people do it, it can change the whole industry.
Key influencers, or opinion formers. Probably one of the better examples, and if you think about the impact on the business, I was actually just thinking about this coming in, mobile phones. Do you remember 10 or 12 years ago, the phone to have was one of those flip phones, the Motorola StarTax. Do you remember those ones? Which you flip in one hand, yeah. They even had a button to flip them open, which, a lot of them didn't work that well. Yeah. Motorola, I think, was the biggest selling handset maker in the world now. You fast forward a couple of years and everybody had the Mars Bar phone, the Nokia phones, and Nokia had the biggest market share. 2007, the Apple iPhone came out, turned everything on its head. Suddenly, people didn't want phones that you push buttons on. If you had a smartphone, an internet-connected phone, it had to be the touchscreen. In 2007, when the Apple iPhone came out, Nokia had one in every two smartphones sold. By the end of last year, that was down to under 5%. They'd lost the vast majority of their market share, all because people had switched to touchscreen phones. Motorola was bought by Google, a company that didn't even exist when Motorola was in its prime. You might say it's Google featuring Motorola now to kind of phrase from an item you had earlier. And they've now sold Motorola quietly to a Chinese company called Lenovo, this historically venerable American telecoms institution. Nokia has been recently sold to Microsoft. They might even exit the handset business altogether. And it's all iPhones and Samsung smartphones. That's where it's all gone. And that's in the space of 10 years.
Well, then the world of celebrity, I would assume, has a big impact. I mean, I'm not just talking about the celebrities of Winston Churchill or the celebrity of President Kennedy, but I mean also just your average. I mean, like you were talking about the hair thing, or at least the beard thing earlier on. Do I remember an ad on TV? It's amazing how we can never remember the product for some kind of Gillette shaving thing, and they would have had Federer on it, and they would have had Messi maybe on it, they would have had Beckham on it, and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Now, isn't Beckham going around with facial hair now? Is that to hell with that? I got the money out of Gillette, off we go.
I saw an ad they did recently where they focus on more, it's guys, you know, like I think Adrian Brody is one of them guys who actually have stylish facial hair. Because they're trying to encourage you, if you are going to grow facial hair, that you style it. It's all about how you have it particularly trimmed rather than getting you to go clean shave.
Well, I read that thing out earlier on, that blokes are only in Britain only about 10 million behind in the $1 billion industry of women in terms of personal grooming stuff and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and manscaping, but I don't think we'd go there.
Manscaping or something, yeah. Now, okay, so let's also, you've gone to hats, you've gone to cigars, you've gone to things. What about James Dean? Isn't he credited big time with the growth of denim sales in the 50s? And look how big denim was in the 60s with hippies and way beyond.
Yeah, Rebel
and I'm
Without,
not just talking about status quo. I think played the O2 last night.
Rebel Without a Cause, I think they'd say, was the tipping point for blue jeans, for denim jeans as casual fashion wear. Whereas prior to that, they'd been very much work wear. And jeans have a long history as work wear and were worn predominantly at that point in the American West. The thing about Rebel Without a Cause, I suppose, firstly, is that James Dean's star was, I mean, unfortunately, that was its zenith. It came out after his death, but East of Eden had made him a massive star. And there's a great Hollywood anecdote that Rebel Without a Cause was actually supposed to be shot in black and white, which would have robbed you of the impact of the famous, you know, red jacket and the indigo blue jeans that you know, put the twinkle in everybody's eye about denim for the first time. It was supposed to be shot in black and white. East of Eden had been such a huge hit that Warner Brothers actually said, you know what, we'll stump up the extra cash and we'll do it in colour. And aren't Lee Ryder and Levi Strauss forever thankful for that one? Because that was the thing that put jeans in people's mind as the symbol of, you know, rebellious youth iconoclasm. And it's been that way ever since.
And then, of course, your man, don't forget, with his 501s, taking them off and sticking them into a Herdist with the Grapevine.
That was Nick Kamen, was it?
Nick Kamen, yeah, very good. Yeah, Nick Kamen. Yeah, that keeps it all going. Okay, so just saying on the movie thing of James Dean, films can be very influential about all those kind of things. I mean, dancing, like, if it really latches on. The Wall Street one, I mean, is it that people in Wall Street were dressed like Gordon Gekko, or is it that braces are back?
Yeah, well, Oliver Stone had this big fight. I love the story with his costume designer, Ellen Myronick, who I don't think she won the Oscar for Wall Street. I think she might have been nominated that year. It was 1987 Wall Street came out. But Oliver Stone's family were from New York. His dad had worked as an investment banker on Wall Street, so he'd grown up in that whole sector, and he knew that set. And Stone was furious with the way Myronick was styling, particularly Michael Douglas. Remember the slick back hair, the braces, the particular, what we now call the banker shirt, the contrast collar shirt with the white collar, the blue shirt. He hated it because he said, look, none of my dad's friends dress like this. None of the guys I know on Wall Street dress like this. Yeah. This is not how that character would look in real life. And Ellen Myronick says, well, wait till the movie comes out and they will dress that way.
That's confidence.
And wasn't she right? Because that influenced then the way particularly young guys who were coming on, unfortunately in those days particularly it would have been all guys coming to Wall Street, started to dress because they thought that's what money looks like. I want those braces, I want that shirt. And even before that, Richard Gere's credited with having led a huge surge in Armani slacks. Do you remember American Gigolo?
Yeah.
In that movie when Richard Gear was actually wearing clothes. He was wearing Armani slacks. Huge, huge boon for that business.
Right.
But that's what Michael Douglas and Ellen Myronick did for the structured jacket, the braces and the contrast collar shirt.
And if you think about it, 20 years later, it's not a million miles from the story of The Wolf of Wall Street. It wasn't Jason Belfort.
I think Jordan Belfort is right, even
Belfort,
the guy who the story is based on is even on the record as saying that that's the way he started to dress, and he only started to dress that way because that was how Michael Douglas dressed in Wall Street. Unfortunately, he also emulated Gordon Gekko in stealing and getting
indeed
sent to prison.
And just going back to the first thing you were talking about there, I mean, Procter & Gamble, what are they going to do? Are they going to, like, have they got any plan afoot to make people shave?
Well, partly, I think they're just going to ride the wave and hope things turn around a little bit. Also,
do they sell stuff that kind of, what's the word for it, like grooms one's beard and like join the clan kind of?
And that's what I was going to say, yeah. They're going to try and move people who are growing beards into taking care of them a little bit better.
Yeah.
So replacing razor sales with sales of, do you condition a beard if you have one of those big ones? You probably need to do something to
51552. Do you condition
sure
a beard?
retain its consistency. I'm sure it can't hurt. Maybe that's the idea for Procter & Gamble. If they start selling beard conditioner, I'll be looking for my royalties. But yeah, they want you to trim it a little bit more. They don't want you to shave it off necessarily, but they're going to try and roll with the punches on this one.
All right, well, let's take it right up to date finally then. We've seen a perfect example of how a sudden trend can affect an industry overnight. Prince George's trip to New Zealand this week?
Yeah, he wore blue dungarees, Rachel Riley dungarees. These things are €91 a pop. I mean, I think you'd want to be out of your mind to dress a toddler who's likely to poo or puke on something that costs €91. But they sold out within hours of him wearing these. I think he was pictured wearing them in Wellington. But sure, his mother and indeed his late grandmother have a long history behind them in terms of influencing fashion
trends.
Yeah,
his mother,
themselves.
Every time she wears something, doesn't it sell out immediately?
And she, you know, very cleverly and probably in keeping with the times, often wears high street fashion. She's led to runs on Karen Millen and Oasis in the past, and I'm sure she'll continue to do so in the future.
Indeed. All right, well, listen, thanks a million for dropping in. Goodbye, Connor. Connor Brophy it is, with the impact on fashion trends and that. And do you think the beard thing is a cyclical thing? It'll kind of be uncool again?
I'm sitting here with 3 days beard growth on
you
myself.
Are actually.
So
I was wondering how long that was.
I'd be clean shaven by the time I'm
then again, the whole idea of shaving is the most bizarre thing ever. I mean, like, you can imagine if somebody, like, imagine talking to a tribe who doesn't shave, and then what do you do next? Well, you know, soap, you kind of get this kind of soap, and then you get a razor. You what?
I always think
you get a razor across your face.
Remember that scene in Home Alone where poor Macaulay Culkin slaps the aftershave on his face and screams in the mirror? That's pretty much what we do every morning. Why would you inflict that on yourself?
Right, indeed. All right, thanks, Connor. Good man yourself.